My name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. A very warm welcome back to the Mindset and Me podcast. I know I've been away for the summer, but it was really, really needed. I definitely needed to take a little bit of time to recollaborate, reboot, reset. And I didn't realize how close to burnout I was. I was putting out, you know, 2 episodes a week, including the meditation, as well as my job, as well as Monday Network, as well as all of the IVF things that I'd shared, and everything just became too much. And I'm so honored and humbled that you choose to listen to my podcast. And so I didn't want to be putting out a podcast that, in my opinion, wasn't of good enough value, a good enough standard, felt rushed, didn't feel thought out, you know, doing the research for guests. It all takes time. There's all so much time that goes into it and marketing it. And I just wanted to make sure that everything I do and share is of the highest value to you. And so thank you for letting me have that time. I'm back. We're going to be a little bit slower. So there's going to be full episodes every other week. But you'll also get the meditations. There's still going to be 4 episodes a month, but just 2 kind of main episodes a month. I took a while to think about that, and that may change in the future. It'll definitely change in January. I've got something incredible already lined up for January. But again, leaning into that phase of not wanting to get to that burnout stage. And I'm very, maybe to my own detriment, territorial over the podcast. So there is so much more that I could outsource, but I just don't. So that's my choice, which I'm not sure if that's particularly good, but I want to have full expression, and it's me doing the research, it's me finding the guests, it's me creating the content, and I love that. And I love to be able to connect with you in that way. So thank you so much for letting me have the time still. I'm super grateful. I have a gorgeous, gorgeous guest for you today. This is Helen, dear Helen, who is an amazing outcome-focused hypnotherapist. Solution focus, I should say. And she is just the warmest soul. We connected, of course, through Instagram, doesn't everyone? A while ago now, I would say almost 2 years ago. And we really wanted to delve into the topic of fear. From conversations that I have with one-to-one clients or corporate clients, fear is huge right now. Fear is something that is taking over so many of our lives. And actually, it was super important for me to really find a guest that I believed could delve into that topic. And I think Helen has done it in the most beautiful way. I'm really excited to share this episode. So please do let me know what you think. Do share if you found any tangible tips, which I really think you will have from this episode. And every share, every review means the world to me. So let's get started. So welcome to the podcast, Helen. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm so delighted to be here.
Oh my goodness, me too. This has been so long in the making. We've been talking about this for such a long time. But we're here. And I think what you do is super fascinating. And we're going to really niche down and talk about an amazing topic that I think our listeners will get so much value from. But before we kind of delve into that, I always like to do a bit of an intro and kind of brief introduction into you and also how you got into your field of expertise.
Yeah. So hi, I'm Helen Kalinak. I am a solution focused hypnotherapist. I used to be a nurse, and it started to just get really difficult, but I knew that I wanted to help other people. I've got that caring nature. So I'd had hypnotherapy in the past, and I just knew what a difference it made to me. So I retrained just before we had the pandemic, and trained as a solution focused hypnotherapist. And so I'm about 2.5 years into my business now.
So being really specific then, what does that exactly mean for someone who's not kind of come across that before?
Yeah. So solution focused hypnotherapy is a type of hypnotherapy where we really focus on where people are right now and where they want to be. So we're really focusing on the solution. So we're not going over the past so much, but it's not ignoring the past, because the past is helpful. We want to see where people have had resilience and where they've got their strengths from past experiences. But solution focused is quite quick and moving forward. Each time that we meet in sessions, we're really getting and narrowing down to that solution of how somebody can really move forward.
And I can imagine, I mean, I've had that before, that type of hypnotherapy a few times. It's incredible. But also, it can be really daunting, right, for somebody, because there's still this like synergy with hypnotherapy, and you've been like, someone clicks their fingers and then you're going to impersonate a chicken or something, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not that. But I guess for someone who has never experienced a session, what would you say someone is likely to go through during hypnotherapy, and then also specifically your type of hypnotherapy?
Yeah, so it can be really scary. I mean, I remember when I first had hypnosis, you know, I sat in the car park for ages, like really like, I don't know what's going to be revealed. You know, it was really kind of like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
But it was incredible. And, you know, so the first part is really using solution-focused questioning, which lots of people start to use now. We're using it, you know, counsellors use it, you know, GPs can use it, people in mental health can use it, you know, using really nice solution-focused questioning. And it's basically like a really informal, nice chat about the amazing things that you do. Because part of my job is to be almost a detective for that resilience. I'm looking for when people have overcome things, and we're celebrating that. So it's not where you might think it might be really down and like quite sort of, it's not. It's quite uplifting chat. And then we do a really nice deep relaxation, the hypnosis, at the end of the session. And it isn't about saying things that, you know, that perhaps you don't want to do. We're using the words that the client is used in that session. So I'm picking out words, the way they've described themselves, that is uplifting and positive, and using all of those words in the hypnosis, but also bringing nature in. You know, nature is a massive part of what I do and what I love. So, you know, taking someone to a beautiful beach, or taking someone, you know, through the woods and the trees, and taking them to a really nice place. And once they're there, I'm then using really lovely words that we've used in our session, uplifting, boosting them. So it's going into that subconscious while they're really relaxed, so that they can start to feel that there's shifts, that they can change habits and start to move forward.
I guess what's really interesting for me, maybe this is like a super selfish question, is how different you can feel every time in every session. So that was really liberating for me when I've had it in the past, because I guess I have a daily meditation practice, and that is like just a complete non-negotiable, but I kind of know the feeling that I'm going to experience. Whereas whenever I've done hypnotherapy, it's totally different on every session. And I think it's really interesting for me to know how you manage that, and with your client, you know, who's experiencing something that can be completely vast with huge range.
Yeah. And that, you know, it is different. You can be different every time. And sometimes the conversations go in a way of like, clients think, wow, God, I've forgotten about that. Like, how has that come out today? And it didn't come out last time we met. You know, it does. It brings things to the forefront, but in a really safe, kind of nice environment where, you know, sometimes I've had people that have, you know, come off the couch and they've had these eureka moments of, I know exactly what I need to do. Or I've had people that have come off the couch that have felt really tearful, and they just don't know why. Whatever the words were, it hit something really moving, even though they've been really relaxed. So, you know, it's always making sure that after that session, we've got a moment to really reflect on it in a nice way, so that I know that my clients are leaving feeling okay in themselves. They're feeling that they're, you know, they're in that moment that they're safe and they're okay. But it is kind of that feeling of just not knowing can be really quite scary, but in the way that I work, which is, you know, warmth and welcoming, you know, most of the time clients find that they feel really uplifted, or they feel that they are getting these eureka moments, these things of like, oh my gosh, how have I not thought about that before? Because when we're really relaxed in that hypnosis, we're filing things away, we're processing things. And that's where we get those moments. We need those daydreaming times, because sometimes we can be on that hamster wheel, can't we? Where we're just like doing the day-to-day things, not allowing ourselves to have space to really let go and let our thoughts process themselves.
I love that phrasing. I would guess, actually, super curious to know, what was like a eureka moment for you, like with your own self-practice?
So with my own self-practice, that eureka moment was that I just wasn't pressing pause. I couldn't understand why I felt overwhelmed, how I felt completely burnt out. I was just doing normal life, you know, a mum, and just doing all of those things. And I just couldn't understand, why do I feel like this? I don't understand. And it wasn't until I really rested and I totally relaxed, it was like my eureka moment was, I need more of this. Why have I not been doing this before in my life? Not just hypnosis, but just stopping and listening to some nice music and allowing myself to just drift and allow my muscles to soften. And that was my eureka moment of, I need to press pause a lot more. And once I started doing that, I was coming up with ideas. I was coming up with things that I wanted to do. I connected with nature a lot more. And it was like, this is why I felt so burnt out, but I just couldn't understand it. And also that, where you look at other people and think, well, they're coping, they've got a lot more stress than I have. And it's like, but everybody is different. So for me, the eureka moment was, I have got to press pause more. And this is why I then went into hypnotherapy, because it was like, I love receiving it, but I absolutely love doing it, because my mind goes to somewhere else. When I'm doing the hypnosis and I'm thinking about a tropical island or, you know, a beautiful beach or something, my mind goes to really great things. And strangely enough, when I'm deep in that sort of trance hypnosis that I'm doing for a client, I can get ideas for myself and think, oh, I'm going to bank that. Well, that's just come through, because I'm in a really relaxed state as well as my clients.
Yeah, it's super special, isn't it? I know what you mean when I leave meditations. I leave and I'm so zen afterwards. I could have had a really crazy morning and I'll do like a lunchtime meditation for a company, and it's like, my afternoon's pretty cool now.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess I'm always like really Thank you. I'm always really interested to know about people's daily routines, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying that, you know, you've had to learn to slow down, and that's super important to you. So what does your day look like? Like, what can we take and learn from that?
So I think the one thing that I've learned is my mornings. My mornings were like super rushed, super kind of like, go, go, go. And it was just like, oh my gosh, before I even turned on my laptop, I was like really frazzled, and it was just like, this is not working. And I was feeling like super exhausted, really tired, and not that feeling of really not wanting to get out of bed, as in like having to move my body because I was so tired. So it's kind of like, right, okay, what do I need to do for myself here? And even though I felt like I had a good bedtime routine, my morning wasn't. So listening to something like Headspace or like a little mini meditation in the morning, even before getting out of bed, and just journaling, just, okay, let's get some thoughts out. Even though I've done it before bed, sometimes the morning is really good. And I might even just write, today is a good day. Today is a good day. And I'm going to say it to myself. And I'm allowing myself to get up that little bit earlier. I'm making sure that when I'm awake, I just get up. I don't lie there thinking and overthinking about the day ahead. It's kind of like, I'm up, I'm going to go. And I step outside. And that the children, you know, that's just what I do now. I take my coffee or whatever, and I just stand outside, whether I'm listening to the birds, whether I'm listening to the rain. I just need to stand at that door or outside to just gather myself. And it seems strange to think that getting up earlier, I felt less tired because I was using my routine in a better way, so that things weren't rushed, things weren't kind of like stressful and, you know, saying to my children, like, where's this? Where's that? We need to get going. I've allowed myself plenty of time and I actually really enjoy the mornings now, whereas I didn't before. It would just be like, oh my God, I've got to get up. I've got to do all these things. But now it's just kind of like, listen to something nice, jot a few lines down and just step outside. And that is my go-to morning routine now. And it's, and you know, it's a habit now, isn't it? When we repeat these things and we do it more and more, it just becomes part of our life.
Love that. You live somewhere really, do you live in Cornwall?
Yeah.
Cornwall all around there?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
so it, I mean, it's lovely.
Gorgeous.
I am pretty lucky. Even to have a nice view from the garden, because you've got a field where there's horses. So just watching the horses and things, really lovely. And yeah, and then, you know, once I've dropped my children to school, you know, I leave a gap before I see clients so that I can either go for a walk or I go on my bike before I start the day, rather than cramming people in as soon as I've done the school run. It's like, okay, I've done the school run now. I'm just going to go for a little walk. What have I got on today? What can I prepare for? And yeah, rather than just go, go, go and cramming so much in, you actually, for me, I feel like I'm in a better place for my clients and it's helped me and my mindset.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I took a break from the podcast for the last couple of months for that reason as well, that everything just felt quite chaotic, rushed, and there was just a lot going on all of the time. And actually, if someone's going to sit there and choose to listen to your podcast, I want it to be of the highest value, and, you know, for someone to give up their time. So I needed to take a little break to be able to come back like all guns blazing for autumn, winter. And also I love autumn.
Oh my.
I'm like, I'm so fired up for it.
It's my favorite. I just love autumn. You know, we've had an amazing summer, but it already feels like, well, it's September now, it's September the 1st. And that feeling of like back to school, getting cozy in the autumn.
Love it. I'm here for it.
Me too.
I'm here for coats. I'm here for boots.
Hats. Okay. Yeah, like a nice bubble hat. Yeah. I'm ready definitely.
So I really wanted to drum down on a topic that we spoke about briefly and that you are just amazing at, how you work with your clients. And it's around fear. And from doing this podcast for the last year and a half now, actually, I've had so many conversations. And most of the conversations stem from people being fearful of a life-changing event and living in a different way after the fact. So I always am super curious, what does fear mean to you? You know, what are the different types of fear? How can you work with someone who's experiencing fear around a topic? But also, what can we do? What is things that we can recognize when we're living in, I guess it's scarcity versus growth mindset. Yeah. But fear's like, much deeper than that. I would say it's a deeper emotion than that. There's so many questions there, sorry, but
no, it's fine. So you know, that deep-rooted fear that perhaps something has come from childhood, so whether that's like a fear of heights, whether that is fear of snakes or something like that, or you know, flying, and it's kind of really ingrained. That is a, you know, immediate response to something. You know, that fight, flight or freeze, even the thought about flying or even the thought of a height can send those physical symptoms to somebody because it's that really deep ingrained fear. And then I also work with women that perhaps have not had a fear before of a particular thing, but something has tipped the balance, whether that was lockdown, whether that's not being at work for a while. So people that perhaps have had some time off have suddenly really fearful of going back to work or getting in a car and driving, you know, and I'm seeing certainly more and more women over the last year for a fear of driving that they'd never had before, but perhaps something had happened. They might have had a trauma that's happened. They might have had grief. They might have had something. And then all of a sudden, they're really fearful. So I've kind of worked with two different ones, you know, one that's absolutely deep rooted and it's been there for as long as they can remember. And what they've done over through their lives is managed to avoid, they've avoided that particular thing that they've got a fear from. And then we've got what we call this new fear, which usually comes from like an anxiety that we've had something happen or we've had burnout or something like that. And then they're like, I'm suddenly really fearful of driving, or I can't drive on the motorway. I can drive on normal roads, but I'm really fearful of a motorway. Or I'm really fearful of speaking to my boss. I haven't been to work for, I've been off sick for a while and I've got to go back and speak to my boss. I was fine before and now I just can't do it. And then those thoughts build up. It gets catastrophized almost, where it suddenly becomes so big and so scary. Something they used to be able to do, absolutely fine. So yeah, there's two kind of types there that I work with, if that makes sense.
What would you say, given your experience and expertise, what would you say the reason is for that?
So I guess the reason, you know, people have a deep-rooted fear is because it's been there for a really long time. So it's like childhood. So like, I don't know, maybe like a height or something where perhaps somebody's mom when they're younger is like, stay away from that edge or don't go over that bridge. And, you know, our mind's like, wow, that's really scary. I don't want to do that. So we start to avoid it. And then it goes through most of our life, or whether it's like, you know, a snake. I know for mine, my mum's petrified of snakes. And, you know, I was really petrified of things like toads and snakes and stuff because my mum would, you know, put that fear in, you know, without purposely doing it. You know, people around us, we take all of those senses in, don't we? We pick up on people's fear even without words. So as we grow up, we're like children, you know, we're sponges and we take on perhaps other people's fears, our parents or whoever we're around. And that's where those deep-rooted ones come from, where we've managed to avoid it. And then I get people that come in their adult life and say, you know, we want to book a family holiday and the only reason we're not doing it is because I won't get on that flight. You know, I've had fear all my life. I've never been on a plane and we really want to do it. So that's like a, what we call like a really deep rooted one. Or we might have had a fear like that where we've had a trauma from it. So somebody might have had a really horrific flight, you know, years back. And from then that stemmed from that, that they've just never been able to get on a plane. Or, you know, they might have fallen slightly on a height or something might have happened. And there's that triggers that, you know, that fear response. So they can come from different places. But I'm certainly seeing more of these, what we call like secondary fears that have come from an anxiety where people have like, what's wrong with me? I've been able to do this before. What, I can't seem to do it. And it's usually come from something that we've gone through that's not even related to that particular fear. Or again, it's something that we haven't done for a while. So like I've seen people that have had to go to an interview and they've been in a job, corporate job for 20 years. They've not had to do an interview. And all of a sudden they're going to something, a completely new field. And the fear just absolutely grips them of to be able to go to an interview with people that they don't know, but they've done their job really well for 20 years. Or it might be a presentation. They might say, you know, I've got a speaking gig or I've got a presentation to do. I haven't done one for 10 years. Like my legs go to jelly even thinking about it. So there's so many different fears that we can work with in different ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So just one thing that really stood out for me in that is that it's quite anxiety led.
Yeah.
And people who I work with, I've seen a huge rise in anxiety since the pandemic.
100%.
But I'd be super interested to know how you've seen it, how it's been portrayed to you. Like, what, say somebody's listening and they're recognizing that they're starting to feel anxious. What does that look like before that becomes a fear? You know, what's the difference? What can they be looking out for?
So, you know, that thought cycle of what we call, you know, catastrophizing things, we start to worry about the worst case scenario. We start to worry about all the what ifs and our mind starts to go to the future before it's even happened, or it starts going over the past. And these are signs when we're not very present and we're not thinking logically and rationally about things, is those signs where we start to notice then that actually maybe our anxiety is, you know, and also we're getting confirmation and validation from other people. We start asking other people about what they think. And we start to, you know, do you think about, you know, what about if, what do you think about this? What if? And what we're trying to do is gather evidence, because we want people to say, oh yes, God, yeah, I'm really anxious about that. So that we can almost give our brains that evidence to say, yeah, maybe you should stay away from that. So we start searching from other people. So that's a sign as well. And, you know, we get physical signs sometimes before even if our minds don't feel very anxious, we can start to get maybe palpitations. We might start to find that we've got little behaviours that we perhaps not had before, thinking, oh, why am I doing this? So signs can be there, but sometimes we're not always open to it, right? Sometimes we're like, we can't see the trees through the woods. We can't see it until perhaps we come to being really burnt out, or we're getting so anxious that perhaps we can't go out, or we start cancelling plans with people. We start to isolate. And that is one key thing of when we're highly anxious, is we start to retreat back. We start to pull away from people. And that's when we start to really feel that we are alone with this. You know, our brain's wanting to show evidence because it's trying to keep us safe, right? It's trying to keep us from doing these things. Yeah. So it's wanting evidence. So what we do is we retreat. We start pulling away from perhaps people that we love and people that we like being around. So there are lots of signs of anxiety, physical and also in behaviours that we do.
Super interesting. I know that quite a few people that I've spoken to recently, they're finding it hard to leave. But I think, again, it's been a change in behavior. So your home has become so comforting, you know, yeah. as opposed to having to work 5 days a week and leaving. You're actually home all the time.
Yeah.
So I kind of get it.
Yeah.
I kind of get that it becomes this like beautiful comfort. And like I will leave my house, but like I get guilt leaving my dog so bad Aww. Now. Like, and I wasn't really like that before, but yeah. Because she's so used to me being around so much.
Yeah.
So you have this like other thing that you're dealing yeah. with. But I guess anyone who's kind of in that space or feeling alone, feeling isolated, not speaking to people, what would you say is something to maybe start to do? What's one step towards something?
So, you know, with fear we hear, don't we? Face your fear, you know, and it's quite kind of like gung-ho and real like, face your fears. And yes, we do need to face them, but we don't need to be doing it in such a kind of really overpowering way, because if you're feeling like that, as much as it feels scary, the one thing to do is face it, but face it perhaps in a safer way. So like our comfort zone, if you can imagine our comfort zone is kind of like, it's like here, and we're keeping safe in this little bit of comfort zone here. But where we really want to get to is a bit further away. But each time we do something towards that fear, we're pushing that comfort zone out just a little bit more. We're stretching it so that our brains go, oh, okay, yeah, you can do that. Maybe that isn't so scary. And then we take the next step. The tip is to kind of not think it as this really one big thing, because it can be really big and scary. So, you know, for instance, you know, like social anxiety or fear of going out in where there's crowds, especially after lockdown and not wanting to leave your house. You know, where is that one place that you could go, perhaps where you could go and meet that one person? And then you've done it and you've kind of like add it into that confidence bank, that bank of like, yeah, I did that. And each time we're putting it in that bank, and then we might do it again next week. And then we start to like feel, oh, I feel okay with that. Maybe we could meet at a cafe where there might be a few more people. And then we do that and we're just pushing. So we're not expanding it where we're completely facing our fear of going into a really crowded place. But the more you do it, the more you're telling that part of your brain, that, you know, that primitive part of your brain, that amygdala, that actually you can do these things, but you don't have to do them in all big one kind of big chunk. So the tip is to kind of like, okay, what would be the next step? So you can see it almost like a ladder. Okay, perhaps you want to, you know, whatever it is, it's at the top of the ladder. And then we want to work backwards. What is the next step? Let's not worry about the two steps on. Let's just find the next thing. What's the next thing that it's going to feel a little bit scary? It's going to feel that you might need like that chintzy bit of courage, but it's not going to give you the big, big fear. And then when you've done it, you get that real rush of like happy hormones because you're so proud of yourself. You've done something that you thought was a little bit scary. Then your mind goes, oh yeah, maybe I can do something else. So it's step by step. It's not looking at it as this big chunk. You know, you've just got to really break it down. And when you break it down, it doesn't seem as scary. And I guess you're less likely to avoid those things.
Totally. I think as well, we were talking about this before we started recording, that like social media and how you have to go for more and more and more all the time, especially within the industry that I'm in, can be quite interesting from time to time. But I think that stepping back and letting go of ego or expectation or what we should be doing. Like it's the word should, isn't it? I feel like I should go here and just, and actually taking time to reflect and lean in to find out what do I actually enjoy? And as we get older, those things change. Like I'm in, you know, the second half of my 30s now. And even a few years ago, what I thought was really important really isn't anymore. So it's okay to change and for your hobbies and your experiences to change.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the biggest fear is change. People, you know, naturally find it really hard with change. And that can bring fear. That can bring that feeling of like, where you're on high alert, that feeling of being uneasy, because it's the fear of the unknown. And that's the thing. It's the unknown, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we do that, are we going to fail? Are we going to, you know, but we're more likely to think that we're going to fail, especially if our self-belief isn't strong, or that we're not feeling good about ourselves, or we don't talk to ourselves in a really nice way. Your brain's going to be like, well, I don't want you to do that because it's too scary. It's unsafe. And our brain is trying to keep us safe. It's doing its job. You know, like it stops us stepping out in front of a car. We get that rush of adrenaline, don't we, when it's like, oh, that was a near miss, and you start to feel a little bit wobbly. But if you are thinking about something that's unknown, your brain is going to make you feel in that same way, that same way of, well, it's unknown, but if I make that choice, or if I make that change, what if and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And when we start to think about that change, we can, even the thought, because our minds can't tell the difference between reality and imagination. So if you're imagining that worst case scenario, you are going to get the same feelings as if it's happening. Your heart rate's going to go up. You're going to get sweaty palms. Your legs are going to go to jelly, because your brain is showing it for you. It's just like, don't want you to do this. Don't do it. But then there's that part of you that's logical and rational, knows you want to do it. And whether that's like a change in a job, whether that's starting your own business, it all is the unknown and so scary. But what we want to be getting people to do in sessions is looking at the opportunities that change might bring. So we're kind of like reframing it, if you like. So if you can imagine, you know, where you want to get to is over this beautiful river, over this little stream. And just to get there is this little bridge. And the bridge is a scary bit. But you can see where you want to get to. You know deep down that if you do this thing that you're scared of, you know it might bring really good things. And you can see it. You can visualize it. You're like, I know, I really want to get there. Whether it's, you know, a holiday, I really want to go. Or, you know, a family member, for example, someone that finds that flight really scary, but they want to go to Australia and they want to go and see their family member they haven't seen for ages, and they can see it and they can visualize that. But then there's that little gap, which is the flight, which is whatever scary. So what we're trying to do is reduce that fear into something just really small, that little hurdle that you've got to get over. But what we really want to be looking at is how amazing the end result is going to be. You know, if you could drive to there, or if you could fly to there, how different would it be? What impact is it going to have on your life? These are the questions that I'll be asking, because what I want to do is flood their mind with the really positive side of just getting over this little thing, whatever it is, whether it is that interview, whether it is that presentation. If you did do it to your best ability and it went just as well as it could, you could imagine, what's the difference? What's the impact that's going to give you? And then they start talking about it. Well, if I got on that flight and, you know, I'd go and see my parents or whatever it is, or if I could just get over that interview, I know that I can do that job really, really well. I'm going to get paid more, or I'm going to have a better lifestyle. That's what we want to focus on, because, you know, what we focus on expands. So we want to be focusing on that and not focusing on the fear. And then when we actually lean into the fear a little bit more, each time we do it, repetition, 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 we're reducing it and reducing it. And all of a sudden, people are going, oh my goodness, I get messaged saying, oh my goodness, I just drove to wherever. I don't even know how I got there. I didn't think about it. I didn't think about the what ifs. I got in the car, I had the music on, and I got to the destination. And I was like, oh my God, I've just done this. And then I get the message saying, I can't believe it, I've just driven, or whatever it is, you know, because the more times you do it, the more it just becomes so normal, you don't think about it. And I think the biggest thing for clients that I see that they absolutely hate or they want to get rid of is the amount of space this particular thing takes up in their mind, because it's there all the time. Like, we just think about it so much. And I think that's what, you know, people say to me is like, I just don't want to think about this anymore. It's taking up so much energy, and I'm, you know, it's waking me up at night, and it's just taking over their life. But when we look in the grand scheme of things and we get people to really look at the solution, this fear is probably only like this big compared to all the other amazing things that they're going to be doing. But they just can't get over that. They cannot get these thoughts out of their mind. And it takes over their daily life. So it's being able to reduce the thoughts and getting them to repeat the thing. It is facing it, but not in a kind of like, yeah, let's face it, let's go. It's kind of like, what can you do to lean, to edge towards that? Because then you get that, you know, that little badge to say, oh, I did that. And your brain goes, oh, I'm going to put that in there. It's going to give you the nice, happy hormones, you know, those really nice endorphins to be like, oh, I've actually done something. You feel proud. And then you do the next thing. And all we're doing is gathering evidence. We're gathering evidence, because if you imagine that primitive mind like a security officer, it's risk assessing all the time. But if you can kind of say to that security officer, actually, I don't need you right now. Thanks for helping me. Thanks for protecting me. But I'm going to go for this. I'm going to do this. And it feels liberating. It feels freeing to face some of those things that have really held super people back.
Interesting. I just love your phrasing around it. You have this really like soft and gentle demeanor, which is so nice. I just sit and I'm listening and I'm like, I've got to concentrate. It's so relaxing.
Yeah.
So for those who've just met you, obviously I'm going to share all of your details in the show notes. But before we go, I always like to ask what your one mindset hack is, and then if you have something coming up that you'd like to share with everybody.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So mindset hack for me is journaling. And I know, and I was the biggest person that thought it was such a cliche and be kind of like, oh, what does journaling do? What does gratitude do? But gratitude is probably my biggest. Journaling and gratitude, it's just so nice to look back at the little things that you're grateful for. And it might sound cheesy. It might sound like, well, what's that going to do? But it's the repetition again. I always talk about repetition, is that the more you write these things, the more you can really see. And it really helps your mindset in the way that actually maybe the day hasn't gone as bad as I thought. You know, when you get into bed and you just think, well, that day was absolute a write-off, you know, like, that was just, I didn't get anything done. I wasn't productive and all of those things. But when you start to write down what you're grateful for that day, it starts to change and go, oh, okay, yeah, maybe that wasn't that bad. Oh yeah, that was really nice when someone said that to me. Or I'm really grateful for that person. Or I'm really grateful for that blue sky, whatever it was. Over time doing that, it really does change your mindset. So that for me is a biggest thing. And just trying to talk to yourself like you're your best friend. You know, how we talk to ourselves, you know, really affects how we think, how we feel. And so I'm really big on that. So that's why I'm doing this workshop in September. On September the 11th, I'm doing a Reframe Your Inner Critic workshop. It's a 90-minute workshop on Zoom, you know, super affordable. And it's just a way to come together and actually really look at how we speak to ourselves, reframing it and really looking at what self-compassion is and what it can do for you. And then working through some exercises, and then we're going to do a really lovely deep relaxation, with self-compassion, really boosting how you feel about yourself. So that's how it's going to end, a really nice deep relaxation and hypnosis at the end.
Oh, amazing. It sounds incredible. I'm going to try and be there. Hopefully I can be. I know I have to try and move something, but if I can, I'm going to try and be there because that just sounds beautiful.
And, you know, there is, and there is a replay. So you get a replay the next day and a worksheet. But yeah, you know, how we talk to ourselves has a massive impact on what we do in
Definitely,
our day.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. This was honestly amazing. There's so much value
in
here. Of course. And I'm going to share your Instagram and everything in the show notes.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Helen. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
I'm absolutely obsessed with Helen, as I'm sure you are now. So thank you so much for listening to that. And this week, as a little treat, Helen is actually sharing a morning affirmation, almost meditation at the end of this. I'm so excited for this. And I really wanted you to kind of experience Helen's soft and warm demeanor in a really, really beautiful way. So here's a little snippet of the incredible experience that you could get with Helen.
Welcome. This is your morning positive affirmation to start your day with self-love and compassion. Get your body comfortable, whether you are sitting or lying, and invite yourself to close your eyes if you are drawn to. Taking a deep breath in and out. Allow your body and your mind to relax just for a moment. And allow these words to seep into your mind and repeat them after me. To grow today. Today is a fresh new day. I accept myself without judgment. I can show myself warmth and kindness. I love myself fully. I am doing my best, and my best is good enough. I am in control of my thoughts and my feelings. To give. It's safe for me to be myself. I celebrate my body and my mind. I am unique, powerful, and strong. Welcome self-love and acceptance. I am at peace with who I am. I trust in my decisions. I have everything within. within me to make positive change. I free myself from any negative thoughts that come my way. I allow them to come and go. Today, I can cope and manage with whatever the day brings. I can pause, take a breath before I react. I can focus on what needs to be done. I can reach my goals. I am here to cheerlead who I am. I can say to myself, I can and I will. I embrace who I am in this present moment. Today is going to be a good day.